there are a lot of good places out there, but there are other places that aren't as reputable. And I think it's important to do your homework, make sure that your injector is well educated and have been practicing for a while, and they're not just learning on you, right? There's a lot of people moving into salon suites, and for me, that's a little bit of fly by night in terms of the commitment they have on the business.
From the headquarters of Mantra Fitness in Newport Beach, California, this is the Mantra Fitness Podcast. Our show educates, showcases, and empowers people who choose to live a life of wellness with leading health, fitness, and wellness experts from around the country and around the world. I am your host, Kathy Covington, and I, like you, am passionate health and fitness enthusiast. I am the mother of three boys and founder of Mantra Fitness, a community of Pilates studios with locations in Florida and Southern California, who are passionately dedicated to the whole body wellness of our clients. I am so excited today to bring you this episode on facial aesthetic products and their use to enhance lifelong positive self-image. Today, we are talking with Dr. Janelle Ocampo, an amazing and talented educator. She is a doctor of nursing and the founder of Bell V Wellness and Medical Aesthetics in Orange and LA County. She's a board certified family nurse practitioner and a Galderma trainer and speaker on the topic of facial aesthetics. She brings with her a wealth of knowledge on the numerous products and their use in enhancing a person's features and their effects on mental health and quality of life. Hello, Janelle. I am so honored and excited to have you on the Mantra Podcast today. Can you tell us a little background on your career and where it all began?
Sure. Thank you for having me today.
I'm excited to hear all the things you have to share.
Awesome. I'm excited to share. My background started in nursing. I was a registered nurse and Botox was new, and I found a magazine and was obsessed with this Botox advertisement, but not because I look older, but because I was more mature. And I thought, lies, those were just straight lies. And so when I saw this Botox advertisement, I decided to go try the treatment. And that was early 2005. I absolutely loved the results. During my follow-up with the doctor, I told him how obsessed I was. And out of the blue, he offered to partner with me in this second location that he was building out. And I thought, this isn't a red flag. I should do this and borrow against my home and open this business with this doctor, because he's a doctor, and so he must be a reputable person. And I didn't do my homework, opened this location, absolutely loved what I did, and it was very successful, but found out he was stealing from that location to feed the other location. And it just wasn't going to work out. So he said he would pay me my investment to leave. And I wanted to keep the business at that time, but I couldn't work it out with him. So he was going to pay me and never did. I ended up needing to file a lawsuit. And at the end of that, he offered me the business. And at that time, I was advised by an attorney that knew him really well that I should not take this business because I'd be inheriting some pretty big problems. And so I decided to take the judgment, and he left the country and I never collected. He had $1.5 million in tax liens and other people also after him for money. I just didn't do my homework. I was really young, but I learned business. I didn't want the responsibility because of this bad experience, my big fall. But I decided ultimately I wanted to do right by patients, and I wanted things to be done in a way that could put my patients first. And so I ended up opening Bell V 12 and a half years ago, and I fell in love with what I could do for patients and the relationships with my patients. And that's where Bell V started.
So tell me a little bit also about what motivated you to go in this particular industry of facial aesthetics.
When I got that first Botox treatment, I thought that was pretty darn expensive. And I think I'm going to need a discount. I had two kids and it was an expensive treatment. So when I talked to the doctor and he offered to partner with me instead of just getting a job, I went ahead and proceeded with a partnership. As I was working in aesthetics I was a co-owner, right? I was a partner in this location until I really understood the positive impact it made on other people. They would come in and they'd have certain fine lines or volume loss in their face that would show their age. And I would do these very small treatments or tweakments on them.
Oh, I was going to say, and I heard you say too, that you started by having it done on yourself. So you witnessed what it could do for you, right?
Felt.
How amazing you felt, right? Understand and empathize with people that are coming in that want to feel better about themselves.
And I got to hear lots of stories. And so what really kept me was hearing and learning about the positive impact these treatments or tweakments made on others. They could be very small things that no one else sees different in them, but it softens something that bothered that person. And then they were able to go out and attend that wedding or get married or see someone for the first time. It could be anything. Go to a job interview. And they were just able to do that with a little bit more confidence. And it allowed them to go out and live life more fully. So the positive impact these small treatments made on others, because they no longer obsessed when they looked in the mirror, that's what truly kept me in the industry and made me fall in love with what I do.
Yeah, I can certainly understand that. And it's grown so much since you've started. What did you say, 2012 when you started?
Yes. Back when I first started, we wanted one med spa per city. And it was a lot to even have two in a city. And then we grew from there. Back when I started, we were using collagens. And a lot of the treatments we were doing were considered off-label. Now we have all these different FDA-approved indications, and it's really improving our industry. But this is a young industry. It's only been around for about 20 years now.
It's a little over. So young, but that yet there are now so many products that are out there. And I know you specialize and teach in facial aesthetics, and there's all these different derma fillers and these different wrinkle, what do they call them?
There are lots of different terms.
Exactly. Yes. And how do you search for these products and know which products to use?
There are a lot of good places out there, but there are other places that aren't as reputable. And I think it's important to do your homework, make sure that your injector is well educated and have been practicing for a while, and they're not just learning on you, right? And certain things that I find valuable are finding companies that have been established for a while. There's a lot of people moving into salon suites. And for me, that's a little bit of fly by night in terms of the commitment they have on the business. If they're just month to month business and they just opened up, where are they in terms of their education or their commitment level to that business versus going to a brick and mortar type business that had they've invested a lot of money into that location. They're just not going to just shut down from one day to the next. That would make me as a patient feel a little bit more comfortable going to this business that they're going to be around. They're not going to be gone from one visit to the next. If something went wrong, they might be more accountable to me. They may be more likely to have insurance and further layers to help support in the case that anything goes wrong. This is the practice of medicine. And so we need somebody well qualified to treat in case we have any issues with treatment. Yeah, and correct any potential issues. There are rare risks, but there are risks for someone having a reaction to the treatment, like an allergic reaction or a hypersensitivity reaction or accidental injection into a blood vessel causing the tissue to potentially scab and scar from tissue death. There's potential for stroke and blindness. All these things are risks with the treatment. And yes, we're supposed to inform patients that these things can potentially happen. And as rare as they are, they do happen.
Yeah.
And is that practitioner prepared to treat this issue? Or do they have someone very close by that they can refer to right away to get you the help that you need? And yes, sometimes you can find that type of person in a salon suite, but that's a hit and miss. Like,
right.
How well do you know them? And so really finding someone that's an established injector, making sure that they've done it for a while, they have good online reviews, they value continuing education.
Is there any particular training? Because I hear you saying like education and reputation and length in business. Is there any particular certifications that somebody should look for in a nurse practitioner or an administrator?
a very good question. This is still an unregulated industry.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, being that it's only 20-something years old, we don't have a lot of regulations. All that's required, minimum licensure in California, is a registered nurse, be an associate's degree registered nurse, with zero background in facial aesthetics, and a 1-hour online certification course, and not only be able to obtain insurance to cover the treatment, but they will be covered in terms of being able to practice within the law.
Wow, that's scary.
Yeah. And so you can't rely on a certification. I go into offices and I train all the time, and there's so many different ranges of amount of experience from one injector to the next. And from an injector's perspective, the best thing when you do have a newer injector is to be in an office with a lot of experienced injectors so they can mentor you and help you and support you along the way, and patients can remain well cared for, because any gaps in their knowledge, they immediately have somebody in the same office to support them and help them if anything comes up that they haven't learned thus far.
Okay, that makes sense, but I just find it difficult navigating so many different practitioners out there.
Yes. And beauty salon. Stop. Or, stop. My arms are crossed here. I just want you to know.
Or how about like Botox parties?
Yeah. Okay.
Wine and Botox doesn't seem like it might mix very
I have some strong opinions. Botox parties, there's potential for a legitimate professional experience to go into a home and inject multiple patients. The issue is if they're doing dermal fillers in the home and something goes wrong, they don't have the equipment that they need to help reverse it. It's dangerous. And then there can be a legitimate injector coming in and doing just Botox in a home. But many of those cases, they're not legitimate injectors. And the products that they use may not be legal products either. So definitely do your homework. Understand that the risk of having a treatment outside of the office, their malpractice might not be covering them. Do they have a brick and mortar location? That's a red flag for me, but I'm not saying that all situations where they inject inside of a home is not legitimate, but the risk factor of that is way too high for me. Also, injecting out of nail salons, the Board of Nursing doesn't even support that for registered nurses or anyone under the nursing umbrella. We should not be injecting outside of inside a nail or hair salon. Certifications, there are companies out there certifying nail professionals and hair professionals and injecting. Those are illegal.
That's so scary.
And they believe that because they're using this Hyaluron pen and they're not using a real needle, that it's legal. And these companies have even tricked some of these nail people and hair people to believing that they, or estheticians, that they are operating within the law in California. They're not. But in California, it's very clear, black and white, that's illegal as well. Minimum qualification is a registered nurse. My preference is to go into a brick and mortar office, look at their reviews. Hopefully you've gone there by referral anyways, and they've been established for a long time. They don't have a brand new license. They're a part of a team, or you know them really well and they've been practicing for a really long time.
Okay. That makes complete sense. Again, I'm with Dr. Janelle Ocampo, and we are taping today the Mantra Fitness podcast. So I heard you say a little bit about the positive self-image in clients that come in to your office locations, which are Orange County and LA. You have two different locations. So I guess my question to you, have you seen like any sort of like total transformations and somebody's features using aesthetics that gives them like such results that they don't have to go and get plastic surgery, for example, or actually go into the procedures of actually cutting the face and the muscle, but yet they can come in and get the same result with your facial fillers or neuro?
So in terms of what we can do non-surgically versus surgically, it's different. They have good elasticity and they don't have too much redundant tissue, they may be a great candidate for us replenishing volume down deep on the bone where they've lost most of the fat. And then this gives them more time before they potentially need surgery. But once we have excess tissue, gold standard is to have a surgical procedure and lift that. And then once the tissue is draped better, if they still have volume loss, they can either, yes, do fat transfer during and see if some of that stays, or we can still replenish volume and make them appear more youthful, and the quality of their skin will look better as well. So we don't necessarily replace surgery in some situations, but for those minor situations where they have just a little bit of sagging, they may benefit from dermal fillers. And if they go to an honest injector, they're going to get an honest opinion on what they'd be a good candidate for.
Yeah, and I've seen cases out there where it looks like someone might be overfilled, right?
Yes.
So it would appear to me that you would really need to find somebody who's has a great reputation and is going to be honest with you.
Absolutely. Good work is invisible. If you can tell someone has had any work done at all, that is bad work.
Wow.
Anything visible is not good work.
So it has to, we're looking for that natural.
And this is the issue with spouses. A lot of men are like, I don't want my wife's lips done. I don't want my wife to get Botox because they've seen bad work. And there are plenty of husbands out there that have no idea their wife has been doing this for 10 years because they're going to someone that doesn't overdo them. But that someone also needs to know when to say no, when it's not a good time for them to have a treatment. And if they need any adjustments, appropriate adjustments or product reversal, they need to tell them the truth and let them know that needs to be done too. So they can remain completely natural looking. We're trying to buy time, not look artificial.
Oh, I agree. And so the honesty, I hear you saying like the honesty and integrity of the practitioner is huge. And
yes.
So that reputation. So really doing your homework and making sure that you're going to a very reputable place. I've heard of there are these $99 a month injectable, unlimited injectables. I don't know if it's unlimited, but something like that. And you can go as much as you want. And I just am curious your thoughts on that.
I think I know the exact business that you're referring to with this program. And membership programs, if that brings down costs or it's a beauty bank and money accruing for you, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But when it comes to how much you can have, the practitioner still needs to steer you and let you know whether you're a good candidate for that treatment or not, right? Mm-hmm. Something that's unlimited, and this really sounds too good to be true, but just so you know, if you have full correction, you should not be adding more of anything. Yeah. And just because something says unlimited, it may be based on their judgment and not necessarily your judgment. And I'm not saying this is a reputable place. I know the place that you're talking about. If you look at the before and afters, it's not my type of clientele for me. I like a very natural look in the first place. But I guess it's for a certain type of clientele. Some people want their look to be visible, like they've had things done. In my opinion, I think that's a trend that's going away.
It's almost like if you don't have the filler, you're like, wait, they're not filled. So it's just different. But hopefully people do become more confident in who they actually are and seek to enhance their natural beauty. There are practitioners out there who can really help with that.
Yes. And educate. Let the patient know.
Educate.
Because you're paying for this treatment does not mean it should look like you had a treatment. You should look refreshed and rejuvenated, not like you've had something augmented.
And so you are an educator. You just came here today for this podcast after running around, training in offices. You really understand the technical side of fillers and where to place them and their placement. And if you could just expand a little bit on just that and
yes.
The importance of knowing how important that is, the area and in the face and all the muscles, because it's very confusing to me.
Placement does matter, which is why education in aesthetics is so important and just a simple online course isn't enough, right? When we look at facial aging, the majority of the volume that's lost is in the deep fat pads. And the majority of what should be replenished in the face is deep, close to the bone in the deep fat pads. We have muscles and in our face, and as our muscles move, if we have a good amount of product on top of the muscle, it may not look as natural, and muscles may not be able to move as freely. The majority of the volume that we're trying to replace is where the volume was lost in the first place, deep down, and we want to put a minimal amount superficially. Now, in the lips, it's a little bit different because we want to stay above muscle. Our mouth moves so much that if we get filler below the muscle, it has a higher propensity of migrating, going beyond the lip border and looking a natural, and we smile, and then it looks like a mustache shadow.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
This very famous mustache shadow, unfortunately. And so we want to stay above the muscle, but we want to put a small amount to the point where we're not overfilling the lip, because overfilled lips cause migration. A lot of people want to be full, but sometimes it's too much for their lips, and that increases their propensity of having migrated filler. And you're more likely to migrate again if you've had migration in the past. So it's best to listen to your injector, go to an honest injector that's not going to overfill you in the first place. Now, some people will be more prone to migration than others, and some people won't metabolize the filler really well as the years go by, and they may need to have it reversed out before they refill again. And that's perfectly okay, as long as they're going to a skilled practitioner. There's also the ability of being a little bit more focused on the reversal by doing ultrasound, looking underneath the skin and targeting the product where it's sitting, instead of just blindly trying to reverse everything.
And so I hear you saying that if you had an injectable put in and it was, the placement was off, you could have it removed, right?
As long as it's a hyaluronic acid filler, and that's another subject.
Okay.
There are different types of fillers out there. In the U.S., our FDA is a little stricter than in other countries. There aren't as many FDA-approved fillers that are not reversible, but there are some.
Okay.
Yes. And so if a patient has chosen a permanent filler or a soft tissue implant, those we can't simply reverse, right?
So it would be probably a very important question to ask the practitioner prior to being injected by a filler, if that filler is in fact reversible.
Yes.
Because God forbid we end up with a giant lip, or we want to be able to remove that.
And not only that, but we have situations where we've accidentally injected into a blood vessel and we need to reverse out the product so we don't have tissue ischemia causing a scab or a scar.
So it's important then. It's something we need to...
Reversible fillers are
reversible
the way to go.
Fillers. Okay.
Yes, which is hyaluronic acid. Hyaluronic acid is reversible, and it's the bulk of the fillers that we have here in the U.S. We get patients coming from other countries, and they do a lot more fillers that aren't reversible. We see a lot of funky things, like hard lumps under the skin and things that they're not happy with. And unfortunately, even surgically, they're probably going to need to have to take out a little bit of surrounding tissue, leaving them with some irregularities. And so it's hard to fix issues that have arisen from irreversible fillers.
Okay.
Most clinics are going to have reversible fillers, though, luckily.
How about the wrinkle relaxers out there? I know there's Botox, and I've seen a few others come out.
Yes. And we have a new one coming out soon. It was just FDA approved.
Give me some insight. I want to know.
As exciting it is, it's not super exciting, because there isn't a huge difference from the classic Botox. And Botox was FDA approved about 22 years ago. It was the only wrinkle relaxer or neuromodulator that we had on the market for quite a while, until Dysport came out, and then Xeomin, then Jeuveau, then Daxxify. And now the new one that's coming out, it was just FDA approved a few weeks ago. It's called Letybo, and it's the number one selling neuromodulator in South Korea, and has been for a while. And so that's exciting. The part that's not so exciting is they really don't function a whole lot differently. Daxxify is FDA approved to last up to 6 months. All the other neuromodulators are 3 to 4 months. A lot of people feel Daxxify is not getting them quite the 6 month duration. And so it's looking like it might be somewhere in between the 3 and 6 month mark, and it could vary from one visit to the next. And the difference in price is a significant amount. So for some people, they feel that's worth it, and some people they don't. What I can say is that they're all very similar products. What they believe is with Daxxify, there are peptides in them that help the product last a little bit longer. Letybo is a neuromodulator. It's going to be very similar to Botox. So then the other thing is, it can come down to price. Is there going to be a different price point? If there is, then that's probably going to help persuade sales, right? Mm-hmm. Botox is the most expensive neuromodulator for an office to offer as a product, and it's tried and true. It's what we learned is the wrinkle relaxer, this is called Botox. Just what we cover our wound is called a Band-Aid, right? But there are lots of different brands out there, and it's the same thing. When it comes to the wrinkle relaxers, is we have many different brands. We have many choices out there. Until one is completely different, they are all in this similar category of great products. And I do have some preferences. Some products might kick in a little quicker or last a little longer. But the bottom line is, because there aren't huge differences, some of the decision making can be related to price, and understandably. Without me having used Letibo, I really am hoping it comes in at a better price point, since rumor has it's going to be very similar to Botox. But we'll see. And it's been around for a while, so it's not like anyone's experimenting on you if you decide to use this product. Understand that it's been used for a long time and people have tolerated it really well in South Korea.
Do our bodies metabolize these products differently? So could it last for 3 months in one person and then maybe 4 months in the other, depending on metabolism?
Because the strain is basically the same, if we have a resistance to one neuromodulator, we are likely going to have a resistance to all of them. Yes, some products have more active neurotoxin inside the bottle than others, and so you'll get a little bit of a better duration. But there isn't a huge difference between the products themselves. Aside from increasing the dose of any one and it lasting a little bit longer, because dosing is equivalent to duration to an extent, know that these are similar products. So if one really isn't working, or you have a really short duration from one product type, aside from increasing the dose, whether using that product or a different product, one doesn't work for you, likely all of them won't work for you. And I don't foresee that being a difference with Letibo either.
Okay.
The products are so similar.
Got it. Is there a story about a client that you've seen that's come in and been like, just spoke to you on a transformation that they have gotten from using facial injectables or wrinkle relaxers, that you've seen that's just been like, okay, this changed this person's whole self or how they thought about themselves?
Oh, this has happened so many times, which is what's kept me in the practice. A lot of what happens is, even during that initial visit, I'll have someone come in. I had a patient, their child died from SIDS, and their first visit out for themselves was a couple months after the passing of their child. And they said, I want to look like I haven't been crying for the last 2 months. And to be able to offer them this treatment, I replenished volume in the eye area where they had volume loss. They felt amazing and they cried, right? I've had other situations. I've had people born with cleft lips and have really bad lip scarring. And these are often very emotional. I also had another patient who was attacked by a random person on the street and had a really bad lip scar. When we can go in with a needle and break up the scar tissue, replenish some lost volume, the scar is less apparent. And these are very emotional outcomes for these patients, for them to be able to see this scar less visible, whether it was a cleft lip or an attack. Those have been very emotional visits. We had another patient, very emotional, and they didn't have such a great interaction with the other provider in the treatment. That other provider came to me and asked me to come in and help. And I just had this energy from her that she was a really great person, but there's something really wrong with her. And I was going to provide a treatment for her. And I sat down next to her and I said, what is really going on? She was a young school teacher, and she started crying and she said, it's a boy. I am in love with him, but he does not feel the same way back. And she was just stunning, beautiful, gorgeous. And we were going to do a treatment in her cheeks to replace a little bit of lost volume. And she just needed to be heard in that moment. These feelings of inadequacy, because her feelings for this guy weren't reciprocated. And just being able to be there for her and also provide the treatment. I replenished this lost volume of this person that was just so stunning in the first place, but she was hyper-focused on a little bit of volume loss because she was beating herself up emotionally at that time. And she felt so good about herself that she was able to go out and get back in the world and had a great experience just treating this issue and also connecting with me because knew the energy in that room at that time, that's what she needed at that moment. And it filled me up. It filled my cup. I went home at the end of the day with this amazing experience. And it gives me energy when patients share with me their why they're there. And for me to be able to meet those needs is just amazing.
Aw, yeah, yes. To hear somebody, to really hear your patient and understand them and why they're coming to you and not over-treat, but just really solve that emotional or figure out that little emotional piece that's going to just, and I like your story about the client came in, who the grieving client with the crying too much, because that people do have down times in their lives when they might need this and that way too, just to give them that little bit of lift and put a smile back on their face and feel like they can walk out again in a positive way. So that's, wonderful. Again, this is Kathy Covington with the Mantra Fitness Podcast, and I am here today with Dr. Janelle O'Connell, and we are talking about all sorts of facial aesthetic products. I want to touch a little bit too on just like overall safety. Is it safe for me to go and get fillers? Or is there something that maybe it's going to cause my body to be sick or something in the product that's going to make me ill? Because you hear people are removing breast implants, but just because of this foreign body that we've put into our bodies and how our bodies absorb that. And if it can be toxic.
A good question. Dermal fillers, when we think about the most popular dermal fillers here in the U.S. are hyaluronic acid-based dermal fillers. Hyaluronic acid is something we have within our body normally, right? And it helps us retain fluid. Hyaluronic acid fillers are synthetically made, so we don't have to do skin testing before injecting those underneath the skin, but they are well received by most people. There are some patients that their body won't react well to hyaluronic acid. But the hyaluronic acid fillers have been in the U.S. for the past 20 years and in other countries even longer. They are so widely used, and so they're considered very safe. That doesn't mean they don't have their risks. If you think about getting in your car and you drive your car, are you safe driving that car? Even if you make good judgment and you don't cause an accident, doesn't mean that someone might not hit you. With dermal fillers, we consider it very safe and well received by most patients, but we will have the occasional patient that has a negative reaction, whether they have an autoimmune health condition or there's accidental injection in a blood vessel. There are ways to reduce the likelihood of that happening, and good injection techniques and education are a way to help mitigate those risks. But there are always risks with the treatment, but they are considered safe. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that answers my question. And also fillers in and around the face, because there's different ways I put in a lip filler. And then I've heard different theories on filler under the eye, for example, around the high cheekbone and the eye. Do you have any sort of opinions on any place in the face where you feel like is not a good area for filler or to be wary?
Yes. When it comes to areas, actually anywhere in the face, it's good to have the mindset that less is better. We only want to give a patient what they need, right? And that's even more important in areas like the lip, so we don't overfill them and increase their potential for migration, and under eyes. So our under eyes, we tend to retain fluid normally. And so it's really common that we can go through changes, our body can go through changes, and we may retain more fluid from one day to the next. Hyaluronic acid attracts fluid. And if you are retaining more fluid around your eyes and have a hyaluronic acid filler there, it's more likely to grab on that fluid and not let go. So less is better in that area. So what we can do with under eyes is we can provide a little bit more cheek support and less in the under eye area, as little as possible to help soften the transition so they have a natural look. And there are going to be some clients that just aren't great candidates for filler underneath the eyes. And some of that we can make the judgment call before injecting, and there are going to be some occasions where we end up just needing to reverse them out because they aren't good candidates and we didn't realize that beforehand.
And again, emphasizing the importance of the practitioner and seeing that in a patient, right? Knowing that this patient is not a candidate.
Yes. And so that takes time and experience.
And that's exactly what you're doing, is you're going out and you're training practitioners, right? And safety.
And the other thing is, years ago, when we had hyaluronic acid fillers come out, we had one and then we had two. Now we have different colors to our palette. There are so many different hyaluronic acid fillers that us as providers, we can pick different types of fillers based on the area of their face. Some provide structural support. Some will help improve the quality of their skin or help with a very fine line. Some will help support the under eye areas or the chin area a little bit better. So there are different types of product that will attract different amounts of fluid or have different levels of thickness or lift factor and can help support different areas of the face. So now that there are more and more fillers approved and also on the horizon, we're able to make better choices for our patients.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. This has been really valuable. And I'm excited that you could be here today so we could share all this information and pass it along. I know that facial aesthetics is like a huge topic out there. And to hear about from you how important it is just to really be able to rely on that person that you're going to trust your face and your aesthetics to, and the positivity that it can bring to our lives if it's done in a correct and ethical manner.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I hope it's helpful. It's a privilege to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. Again, this is Kathy Covington. I'm with the Mantra Fitness Podcast, and I was with Janelle O'Connell today, and we talked about all things facial aesthetics. What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
If they just type up my name, they'll be able to find me on Instagram or other social media outlets, and it's probably the easiest way to reach out.
And I know for other practitioners out there who are listening, she is an educator and she has some great YouTube videos that you might want to check out too. So thank you so much for being here. And if you want to reach out to me, please feel free. You can email me anytime at Kathy@mantrafitness.com. And thank you so much for listening. Remember to please drop us a 5-star review if you like this podcast today and share it with a friend.